Now, will you notice verse 2? And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, they are pernicious, if you'll notice. These false followers will go after false teachers. And I do not believe, frankly, that God's elect can be permanently deceived. If you want to know why I believe that God permits a lot of the cults and isms, is to draw away that which is false, because those that are phony will go after that sort of thing. And that's exactly what Paul said would take place in 1 Corinthians 11:19. Listen to this. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. In other words, the genuine child of God won't go in that direction. The Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they won't follow a false one. Well, when you see people take out after one of these false teachers, they're either ignorantly deceived or they are deliberately deceived. That is what they believe. That's what they wanted to hear all the time. Now, if you'll notice here, there's something that is quite interesting in the next verse. He says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not. Now, the word here is that they use feigned words. Now, that word feign, and I have gotten down Thayer's Greek lexicon to look at this word feign, and I'm going to pass on to you what he says it means. The Greek word is plastos, and it means molded or form, like clay and wax and stone. Now, plastos, does that sound like some word you've heard of? Yes, we have a new word. The word wasn't even in existence in Peter's day, and yet it was. Plastic. That's the word that he uses here, and I love that. Now, you can buy a plastic pitcher. You can buy a plastic bucket. You can buy plastic dishes. You can buy plastic toys today. You can buy a plastic most anything today, because it can be molded into any shape that is possible. And may I say this, and I want to say it kindly, and there are plastic preachers also that can be molded and shaped by the people that they serve. They say what the congregation wants to hear. And that's the word that is used here. And why do they do it? And I will tell you, Simon Peter just puts it right out here in the open, and through covetousness. They do it because they are covetous. Now, covetousness actually is a form of idolatry today. They use these plastic words, and that's quite interesting. That was the thing that neo-orthodoxy, when it first appeared, deceived so many people. When I came to Pasadena, there was another preacher came about the same time. He was an outstanding liberal. I'll not call his name. He's known, I guess, pretty much all over the world today. And a member of his church attended my Bible class, and she said, oh, he is sound in the faith because he uses the same language that you do. Well, I said, fine, but does he mean what I mean by it? Oh, she said, he must. And so on Easter Sunday, she called me, Dr. McGee, you've been wrong in criticizing this man. He spoke of the resurrection of Jesus today. And I said, did you go up and ask him afterward whether he believed that Jesus was raised bodily from the tomb? And she said, well, I'm sure he meant that. I said, I'm sure he didn't, but you ask him. And she called me the next day, and she's weeping. And she said, you know, he just ridiculed the idea of the bodily resurrection. And I said to her, I said, you know, these fellas, they use our vocabulary, but they don't have our dictionary. In other words, They say one thing, but the important thing is it's not what they say, it's what they mean by what they say. And so they're doing it for a purpose. Sometimes they're covetous for a position, for a name, for popularity. A great many go after that. And then covetous of money. Actually, a great many are covetous in that particular connection. Now, I'm not today talking through my hat, friends. I have before me the statement that appeared in one of the very fine publications, Christian publications, and I'm not going to call names at all. And it tells about a service of a well-known evangelist, and I'm not going to give his name. I'm not telling very much today, apparently. Now, this is a service that was written up. The pastor introduced the speaker, and he says he's a man after my heart because he loves money just like I love it. And the evangelist got up to speak. He was forceful. He was dynamic. He put on quite a show. And for 45 minutes, he did not read one scripture, nor did he quote one text of scripture. He quoted partially three or four verses. He used the personal pronoun I 175 times. He only referred to Jesus Christ 11 times. And there was laughter every 2 minutes in his message. He was quite a comedian. And an invitation was given. Some 20 young people responding to the urgings of this evangelist, and they went forward. For what? They never heard the gospel. And that is the thing that is abroad today in our land. The average church member, and I'm trying to say this kindly, but the average church member doesn't know the gospel when he hears it, or when he doesn't hear it, which is more important. And that is the tragedy of this hour in which we live. Why? Because there are many false teachers. I could give you instance after instance that I am not talking about a theory, but I'm talking about the fact that there are false teachers abroad today. And that's the reason I said the other day, check on all of us radio preachers. Check on me. Am I teaching the Word of God? Well, check the Word of God and see whether I am or not. And I think that every child of God should examine himself to see whether he's in the faith or not. And that includes the one speaking to you today. Now, we have here, and through covetousness shall they, that is the false teachers, they with feigned words, that is with plastic words, words that they're just molded words. They fit the people they're talking to. They speak one thing to one crowd and they talk differently to another crowd. And unfortunately, there are ministers like that today. I know a man that can bring a fundamental message if he's in a fundamental group. But when he gets with a liberal group, he's just about as liberal as they are. He's a plastic preacher. He just pour him in any mold, you see, and comes up with anything. Plastic is very nice, but I've learned several things about plastic. You better be very careful how you use it and that sort of thing. It's easy to push it and change its shape, especially if you put something in a plastic bottle and the thing gets smashed, the stuff will run all over the place if you're not careful. And so we have that word used here. And he says they'll make merchandise of you. In other words, they're doing it for money. And that's the reason that I personally resent all forms of promotion today. Now, every time I take a trip and come back, I sit at my wastebasket, and sometimes I will pitch in the wastebasket without opening letters because I know who they come from. The label's on the outside, and I've been getting letters from years. I've never given to those organizations, but I get their propaganda. I don't know why they keep sending all that out, but I do know this. They want to make merchandise of me because actually, we ought to only appeal to folks that are interested in a certain work. And that's my reason for saying that if it's a mission organization, then you ought to be interested in that mission organization. And there are many fine mission organizations. And I want to say this, there are many fine radio programs too, Christian radio programs. But there's some that are nothing in the world but promotion. And what we're trying to get through here is this, that one of the marks of a false teacher is that he is a promoter, that all he's interested in is not giving you the Word of God, not attempting to help you, but he is attempting to get something from you, makes merchandise of you. That is, he wants to trade with you. You are sort of a food stamp for him, or maybe a luxury car for him. Now, will you notice this? Whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not. The thing that has disturbed a great many folk, including those in the Bible, David was disturbed that the wicked were getting by with it, so he thought. Then he said, I went in the temple, and what did he learn in the temple? All he learned in the temple was this, that God was in charge, and he'll take care of it. And that's the reason Paul was, you remember, mistreated again and again, and Paul resented it. He would not let the Philippians turn him out of jail at night and let him leave town. He was a Roman citizen. He forced them to do it the right way, you see. But Paul says, don't take vengeance. Why? He says, because you turn your case over to God. And the minute that you try to get vengeance, you're taking God's place, because God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And you depart from your walk of faith. You see, when you walk by faith, it doesn't mean that you are a milquetoast, that everybody can push you around and treat you anyway. No, it means this. All right, brother, you have mistreated me, and you've done this to me, and I'm going to turn you over to the Lord. You remember Paul said Alexander the coppersmith, silversmith, was it? Well, he's one of the smiths. He's done me much wrong. And Paul says, the Lord will reward him. The Lord will take care of him. I turned him over to the Lord, Paul says, concerning another brother that mistreated him. May I say to you, vengeance is mine, I will repay. The Lord says, you let me handle these cases. Now here, God's going to take care of these false teachers someday. I'll be very frank. When I heard of the death of a liberal not long ago, a great many, in fact, a man said to me, well, says he's better off today than he was when he was in this life. And I said, you just think he's better off. I don't want to go in the presence of God someday, friends, and have to give an account for the fact that on this radio program, God is going to say, look, McGee, you came to a passage of Scripture there, and you soft-pedaled that because of the fact that you were afraid of criticism, and you didn't say it like it's written. And he'd hold me accountable for that. I got to turn in a report to him for this radio program. And may I say to you, you've got to turn in an account to God also. Now, he says, this thing, it looks like it's slumbering. Looks like God is taking a nap today. Doesn't seem to be doing very much. But he is, friends. And Habakkuk had that question. And Habakkuk found out that the Lord is moving too fast for him. We'll see that when we get to it.